Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got a great interview with our local DNR fish biologist Max Walter talking about the upcoming meeting. And then lastly, some great spring turkey tips from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
You could literally drive to a boat show every weekend. Hi, this is Johnny from Hayward Power Sports. Go ahead, have some fun, check them out, then come see us. Their salesmen want you to believe that they get the best prices from the manufacturer and are offering show-only deals. The truth is, our sales volume allows us to buy boats at the same discounts as the big city dealers. And Hayward Power Sports has a huge selection of new Lund and Tracker fishing boats. Plus, we have our largest selection ever of pontoons in stock with gorgeous Benningtons and the number one selling pontoons in the world, Sun Tracker. Hayward Power Sports also carries every major outboard with Honda, Yamaha, Evinrude, Suzuki, and Mercury, with the best warranty offers of the year going on now. And while the boat show finds you the best financing for the dealer, we work with our banks to get the best financing for you. Our boat show is continuous, so come see us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair, Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and help co-host it is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. Good morning, Eric.
Morning, John. Great to be here.
You know, we get closer and closer to spring, and the weather seems to be moderating some. Hopefully we don't get any last-minute snowstorms by the time we air this or anything, but, you know, there's still a lot of ice out there.
Oh, plenty, and you might still need an extension for the most part.
And guys have been getting out there ice fishing. I am getting reports now that actually the water problem on the ice is kind of subsiding a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, some of our warmer days or some lakes, you know, are a little bit better than others, but you know, our nights are getting well down into the lows and it's firming back up.
Well, they're after strictly crappies and bluegills because the game fish season is closed. What are you hearing on reports on anything?
Guys been doing pretty well on perch actually, and a few anglers doing okay with crappie and bluegills. You know, it sounds like it's a little bit of a day-to-day, you know, one day you do well, next day you might be a little touchy bite, and partly some of that may have to do a little bit with the, you know, ever-changing barometer. So
that's been kind of the way it's been all winter, though. It's been kind of up and down bite, isn't it?
I know. I feel like we were in a high-pressure front for quite some time, too, if you actually look back in the calendar over our winter season. So it definitely plays a unique role sometimes in fishing.
You know, this is a time of year, too, is everybody thinks about crappie and bluegills, but it's also a really good time to look for some big perch.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So I went to school up in northern Minnesota, and, you know, we spent a lot of our days in February chasing big perch. And, you know, it's kind of leading up to their spawn and such for them. And so they are very active. And if you can get on a good school of them, you can definitely find a few good eaters.
You know, and we got the steelhead season coming up. This show is for the 25th, so that's here.
Yeah, the steelhead season, yeah, is upon us. So a lot of really fun opportunities in that. Should be able to get you outside and having fun and fishing.
You bet. Well, actually, we'll start to see a lot more open water opportunities here as we go on. Some of the rivers should start to open up. And, you know, if you guys want to make a trip, you got the Fox River and you got the Mississippi River, which is phenomenal walleye fishing.
Yeah, and I think even Lake Pepin, too, which is part of that Mississippi River system. And, gosh, you know, a guy could go out and have a lot of fun chasing smallies even.
Yeah, I never went after smallies in the spring out there. I've done a lot of walleye fishing in the spring, and it's really good walleye fishing. And the Fox River, I understand, is too.
Yeah, absolutely, John.
You know, and talk about some other stuff going on here, too. We got the spring turkey seasons. The first seasons basically will start on April 18th. That's not that far off either.
Yeah, guys have been coming in, getting geared up. You know, if you haven't pulled the shotgun out, maybe just, you know, get a few rounds through it, make sure you're shooting the right load and everything. You're getting a pattern that you're going to be happy with this season, so you're finding some success.
And get out there and do some scouting, because there's a lot of woods up here. There aren't turkeys everywhere. We got a good population, but they're not everywhere.
Yeah, and scouting, you know, it's beneficial to you as the hunter, and some really simple steps you can do to improve your hunt leading up to your season dates.
You know, and the other thing too is we got that conservation and spring hearings that are coming up April 9th this year. In fact, I got Max Walter, our fisheries biologist from DNR, on the next segment of the show talking about that meeting, and that's an interesting thing that a lot of people should go to.
Oh, absolutely, John.
You know, and talking about a couple of things here, what's new out there this year? There's got to be some new tackle and new gear. I mean, every year there's always something you always wonder, are they going to come up with anything new? But they always do, right?
Oh, absolutely. One of the newer items with the electronics is the Hummingbird Solix. So it did come out last year, but it was only available to certain folks last year. This year it's now available to all users. Solix is a little bit step up from our Helix, or I should actually say quite a bit of a step up. So still utilizing some of like your mega transducer components, but you're also getting some touch screen, some Bluetooth aspects, a lot of really unique things that you're going to find with the Solix units. And I know some guys have been really getting revved up with it.
You know, and there's also going to be plenty of new rods and reels and stuff. I know the new reels that came out last year, the Tranks come out basically with a 300, 400 series.
And at a great price point for someone who's either looking into, you know, getting started with musky or even, you know, light musky, pike, and a good bass reel in that 300 size.
Yeah, it's a good powerhouse reel. Well, anybody's looking for stuff, I know they can stop by the store here because you guys, the store's expanded in size and you got a lot more gear in here.
Yeah, absolutely, and you'll be able to find all the new items for this year as well, and a lot of fun, exciting things.
Well, you know, we're gonna have to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors that help put on the show here. We come back and we've got that interview with our local fisheries biologist.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season. And if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Riding the Ski-Doo snowmobile is an experience unlike any other, and Spring Fever offers deals unlike any other at Hayward Power Sports. Order your new 2019 Ski-Doo snowmobile by April 11th and get 4 years of warranty coverage or $750 off accessories and gear. Be the first to get the new Rotax-built 900 Ace turbo engine on the revolutionary RevGen 4 platform. Plus, it's your only chance to order X or XRS packages with custom upgrades. Get to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Get that Ski-Doo feeling.
Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com. And then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping out is fishing guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, our biologist, he's kind of been pretty actively involved with working with clubs and groups and trying to get things done.
And even our guides, you know, he's been really, really beneficial, I think, not only to the DNR, but our community in our area that he's covering. You know, I just had a client who touched base with me who got a really great insight information for his trip at coming up here. You know, so, yeah, he's been a great asset to our area.
Let's hear what Max had to say about the upcoming annual conservation hearings. And we come back, I've got another interesting interview and a wrap up on the show. Well, we're down at the DNR, local DNR headquarters here in Hayward, and we're talking to one of our favorite biologists, but the only one we got in the area here, Max Walter, who's been pretty active on getting a lot of things done as far as our fishery. And we've got a good important meeting coming up that we have every year, don't we, Max?
Yep. The Conservation Congress spring hearings will be coming up on April 9th. And yeah, that's a big one.
You know, and there's a lot of things, and we just don't normally get enough attendance to that from what we should have, right?
No, I mean, statewide, you know, there's, even in this area alone, there's thousands of people that like hunting and fishing, and we'll typically get only 100 would be pretty good. Typically, we get less than 100 people that will actually take the time to come and weigh in on these important issues that affect all hunters and fishermen.
And a lot of times, there's some pretty good ideas come out of the crowd with resolutions that are submitted, and they wind up on the vote for statewide 2 or 3 years later, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is ground-up management here, so if you have an idea of how to fix a problem or change something and make it better, you know, you can come and you can submit a resolution, and people do that every year. So people weigh in on that. Like you said, some of them advance and they become an actual rule change.
This year it'll be in the winter this year, right?
It's going to be at the Winter High School, 7 p.m., April 9th. Hoping for a lot of people to come and turn out for that.
I know you move it back and forth between Hayward and Winter to give the people from the other end of the county a chance so they don't have to drive so far.
Exactly, yeah. Since we have such a large county, we do try and mix up the location.
What are some of the interesting things that are going to be on that this year?
Well, you know, the questions range from statewide to local. Looking at the statewide level on the fish side alone, I'm not even going to talk about hunting. People should check that out. I'm not an expert on the hunting rules, but just looking at fishing, we've got questions related to bass fishing and bass tournaments, whether we want to change seasons for bass, whether we want to create some rules to allow bass tournaments to happen on lakes with special fishing regulations. Then we have local questions like, you know, what should the panfish regulation beyond the triple flowage, and that's one a lot of people will be very interested in around here.
Talking about panfish and, you know, what size fish we should keep and what's happened to our panfishing, that's a critical one when we want to see quality panfishing out there.
Right, yeah, and this is an idea that's been kicked around, you know, for a while. Obviously, the triple flowage is a hugely popular fishery. We have a ton of resorts and guides that depend on that for their income, so there's a lot of people that I'm hoping will be really involved in this process and get in on the conversation so that we can get it right. You know, that's what this is all about, is getting enough feedback that we can get it right and we can at least do the thing that the majority of folks would like us to do.
You know, there's some differences on the flowage compared to a lot of waters. One, we've got this drawdown right now. The lake's down probably around 8 feet. That tends to concentrate fish in the winter. And then we never had ice fishing in the winter. Now we've got ice fishing in the winter. So we may have to take a little different approach on management on a lake like that.
Yeah, certainly there's unique factors in the triple flowage. What I tend to tell people is there aren't many situations where a lower panfish bag limit is a bad idea. You know, it tends to improve size anywhere you do it. The question is, you know, do you want to take that step and do you feel like you need bigger panfish on that particular water body? And the triple flowage is one that's sustained a lot of fishing pressure for panfish over the years. There have been some changes, as you've noted, and this is just, you know, a proposal that's out there as an option to kind of help manage it.
Well, there's a lot of options that are coming up now. I noticed that talking to one of my guide friends over in Minocqua, a bunch of the lakes over there, like the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, have a 10-inch minimum size limit on the crappies. And I don't know why that went that way. You'd think they'd want the bigger ones to be protected more so than the small ones.
Yeah, that panfish size limit on the Turtle Flambeau is very unique. It's one of the only minimum length limits for panfish in the state. We tend to avoid using minimum length limits for a number of reasons. Particularly with panfish, you know, the reasoning can be kind of complicated and biological, but really we don't want to see a lot of those fish dying before they get to the minimum size limit. We'd rather have anglers get the chance to harvest them. You have to have really good data on how fast the fish are growing in that lake to even know if a minimum length limit is a good idea. So that is one place where it works out, but yeah, I don't see minimum length limits being something for panfish that we use broadly?
The best option is usually reduced bag limit or different bag limits, like what's proposed on that jib.
Right, yeah. Reduced bag limits tend to be a little bit better option for panfish. And just by lowering the amount of fish that are harvested, you're going to get a little bit better size in the long run because those fish are being allowed to stay out in the lake a little longer, get a few more years of growth on them.
So how does that whole process work? We've got the conservation meetings, and say I brought out a resolution at the end of the meeting, and if they want, somebody's got an idea or something, they could come talk to you and come up with how to put in a resolution, right?
Yeah, so proposals can come from a few different places. They can come from the DNR, so I can write one as the fish biologist. They can come from the Natural Resources Board. Of course, they exist to help manage resources statewide, and they're made up of citizens that are appointed by the governor. They can put their own proposals in. The Conservation Congress delegates and their committees can put proposals in, and then citizens can, like you mentioned. So you or anybody else could come to the Conservation Congress. There's a form. You can get it on the DNR website. You fill it out. Say, this is the problem I'm hoping to solve. This is, you know, what I'd like to see for a solution. You post it on the wall. Everybody can read it. And then at the end of the night, they vote on that resolution and say, hey, you know, do we like this idea? Do we not? And if we do, then it advances forward and it starts a process where the Conservation Congress will look at it, the DNR will look at it, it'll come around for a vote again, and if people like it, it's something that could become law.
Actually, that process has actually speeded up dramatically from what it was a few years back, though. Now, it used to be like once somebody did something, it was 6-7 years before it got done, it seemed like.
Well, I don't know that it was ever 6 or 7 years, but yeah,
long time.
it's a multi-year process,
right?
Because, you know, we only have the spring hearings once a year, so that's our only chance. So if something starts at the local level and we have to bring it back to people, we have to wait at least a year before we can bring it back to them again. And then with the spring hearings happening in April, even if something is accepted then, the legislature doesn't have time to sign it into law before fishing season. So we're typically starting that for the fishing season that would follow the year that it's kind of accepted through the Conservation Congress. So there's a lot of people that take a look at it. It's just like changing any other law. I mean, this goes all the way. Your panfish regulation would wind up on the governor's desk.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy to think about, but it is, I think, encouraging for folks to see there's a lot of checks and balances here. This is certainly not the DNR doing whatever they want. We answer to the people. We answer to the legislature. We answer to the governor's office, the Natural Resources Board. If we put out a wonky proposal that shouldn't pass, it has to, you know, pass all those different steps, and typically that won't happen. So only good proposals make it all the way through that.
What, there are a couple, is there a few other things that might be of interest to people on there?
Really this year we're talking about some local stuff, and of course there's local stuff in our county and other counties. And then we're talking about the bass stuff, and those are kind of the two big ones on the fishing side. There are things that guides would be interested in. There's questions about, you know, guiding fee increases. There's questions about whether guides should have to have documentation of CPR and first aid training and things like that. There's really a pretty wide range of topics this year. So I'd encourage people to check out the booklet online. You can go to the DNR website, search Conservation Congress, and you'll be able to find the booklet, read it ahead of time, have some time to think about things, do your own research if you need to. And then come out to the hearings and make your voice heard on those things.
I know I was looking at that guide thing. Of course, you know it's going to be of interest to me. And
yeah.
The way it's worded in there, you know, the general public may take it that the guides are using and making a ton of money off the resource. And I don't know many guides out there that make a whole lot of money. We do it because we love to do it, you know. And the other thing is most of the guides, a lot of the guides have done more to promote the sport of fishing and to promote conservation and catch and release than, you know, if we push the guides out, you know, that would not be good for our resource, I don't think.
Yeah, and I just want to note that, you know, that wasn't a question that was written by the DNR. That one came from the Conservation Congress, and you'll have to go into the booklet and read a little bit about, you know, the background of why they're proposing that, and people will have, you know, good points like you just brought up that'll be part of the discussion. And that's kind of, you know, how we do this is people come and I'm sure you'll make a comment at our hearings locally and people across the state will, and there'll be good discussion about kind of the pros and cons of each of these, and then we take all that feedback under advisement as we decide what which things are going to get moved on and which ones are going to get dropped.
So. Well, I figured out where they're coming from. I found out talking to people, my senator for one, and they came from a couple of younger guides, and, you know, they kind of look at if we raise the prices and raise the criteria, we'll get rid of a lot of these part-timers and these old-time guides. And you got to remember, a lot of the guides that worked all of their life didn't make a huge income. And they get 75 years old, they want to guide half a dozen days, 12 days out of the year because they love doing it. To take another bunch of money out of their pocket's not fair. If they're going to do that, I told the senator, I said, you ought to have a senior rate on it. Anybody that's been a guide for a number of years, you ought to have a reduced rate for them, because this is, you know, to penalize the senior citizen, the senior guide, because of this is not a fair thing either.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the people who are putting it together, I'll have to do a little more research.
It's an interesting thing. Anyhow, it's something people, in going to these meetings, people need to be aware of what's going on. They need to do some research, some background research, because I've always said this, that when you go to the meeting like that, you don't want to go and say, I want only walleyes because that's all I care about. You know, we don't look at the health of the resource, what's the best for the lake, what we should do. We want to kind of take the time to look at that stuff rather than what I want and nobody else.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if we can get people thinking about kind of the greater good, that's excellent. But, you know, everybody is certainly entitled to their own personal preferences and opinions, and we want to capture as many of those as we can across the state so we're getting a good sample. You know, the analogy I'll use sometimes is, if I go out to a lake and I'm doing a shocking survey and I stop after catching 5 bluegill, do I really know what that population looks like? No, I need to see a few hundred before I know what the average size and the biggest ones out there and things like that. And it's no different with gauging public opinion. We want to have a big sample size so that we know we're not just hearing from, you know, extremes on one end or the other. So that's the goal, is get a lot of people, get them involved.
Basically. And again, when is that meeting and where?
April 9th, Winter High School, 7 p.m.
And you ought to be there, folks.
And you ought to be there. And there's a meeting in every county throughout the state. So if you don't live in Sawyer County, you know, go on the DNR website, look up Conservation Congress. You can find the meeting in your county, and everybody will be voting on the same questions at the same time on the same night. It's kind of neat.
Interesting topic. I want to thank you for coming on here, Max.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
As usual, Max, interesting. I've got several good recordings I got today we'll have on over the next few weeks. Right now, we need to take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We return. We'll have an interview with fishing guide Tim Duffy talking about turkey season, believe it or not. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Bunny propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and, of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
Pet owners, blastomycosis is a serious disease that threatens dogs in our area. Blasto is a fungus that grows in the spring and fall when the soil temperature is 39 degrees. The fatal disease results just 6 to 12 weeks later. Unfortunately, dogs love to dig and sniff in just the type of soil that houses these fungal spores. At Hayward Animal Hospital, they urge you to prevent your dogs from entering swampy areas during the thaw. If you have questions, call the Hayward Animal Hospital at 634-8971, located east of Hayward on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and helping out is fishing guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, we mentioned in the beginning of the show, turkey season's not all that far off, time to do some scouting. And I know one of the guys up here that's got into it pretty heavy in the spring is Timmy Duffy. Tim has got really, they say once you get into that turkey hunting, it's kind of addictive, right?
Yeah, it seems like it'll just run through your blood, you know, absolutely. And, you know, he's got a lot of great insight to locating birds and just improving your hunt, you know, finding more success in your hunt. So.
Well, let's hear what Tim has to say about that, and we'll come back and me and Eric will have a wrap up on the show. Tim, you know, it won't be long. We'll have spring turkey seasons, and I know you like the turkey, huh? That's one thing I really not got into, but, you know, what would be the number one thing you could tell people that are getting into turkey hunting to try to learn and to be effective out there?
Well, you know, you can learn the calls, but you don't have to really have the most fancy calls either. You can go with the simplest things. I guess I like to hunt with a decoy. A lot of guys like to stalk them. I still like to have a decoy because if you get a tom, a breeding tom, that sees a hen, he's coming. And, you know, to call that, I mean, you can use the box calls that are just very simple. And actually, some of them sound very good. So, I mean, I got a ton of good calls. And on some of the toughest days, I've used every one of those calls. And you can actually tell which one they're going to respond to, just like fishing, what they're going to bite on. So I there's times I pull the rabbit out of the hat where other guys have one or two calls. But I know in the beginning, if you got a decent decoy and a simple box call or whatever means the simplest way for you to make a call, use it. And probably the biggest thing is finding the birds. If you don't have no birds, you're not getting anything.
Well, you don't have to be that good a caller, because sometimes I've heard turkeys that are the worst callers themselves. But also, you know, you really some guys call too loud. You don't need to call that loud.
No. And I guess, you know, sometimes just a peep. Beep for the hand. I mean, if he sees the decoy, and sometimes he doesn't have to hear anything, and sees the decoy, he's coming. And, you know, I always heard that, you know, about the calls not being loud. And definitely you can be too loud if they're close, like in your back pocket. If you don't know where they're at, that can scare them away, because a lot of times they make no sound at all. They could be like 20 yards from you, you know, behind you or something, and they're making no noise at all. And that happens a lot. And you start calling too much, and you'll actually spook them away. So I usually kind of space mine out. I always start quiet, but then there's times where I can hear, let's say I'm on an 80, and I can hear on a quiet morning turkeys over on another 80. That little quiet call isn't going to get there. And so then I have some calls that will actually reach that distance. And if you can hear them, I'll do it a couple times. If you hear them respond to that, and then I listen to see if they're coming closer. If they're just responding but not moving, then I don't want to do too much of that. But a lot of times they're silent. You hear nothing. And all of a sudden, matter of fact, 2 years ago, we had a big tom come in. I did the call. I was hunting with somebody. I said, well, sometimes they don't respond. I just put my head back in. I went, get ready, here it comes. And it was running through the, never made a sound. And it was a huge tom, and we got it. So you never know. And with them, there's, you know, I've shot them at 12 in the afternoon. I've shot some the past years late in the afternoon, like the last hours, which usually guys aren't even in the woods, in the morning. So just depending on where you're at, and where the birds are at the time, it doesn't seem to be the same ever.
Well, Tim, it's real interesting stuff. And if somebody wants to get out and do some fishing this spring or summer, how do they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 715-634-5100.
Well, you know, it's that interesting listening to him. You know, we're talking about a few new things. One thing I want to throw out there, you mentioned some new stuff earlier in the show, but Mercury's come out with some new motors. You know, I got that new boat I got last year. It had that four-stroke 115 Pro XS on it.
Yeah.
Beautiful running motor. They now have a four-stroke 150 Pro XS, and they've came out with, if the guys want the big horsepower, 175, 200, and 225, they come out with a V6 four-stroke. Beautiful, quiet motor. It's just always changing. Everything's always changing, it seems like.
And I'm sure that thing flies.
Well, yeah, you know, and it depends on what we get. I know, you got any tips for guys getting out here in the spring looking for maybe some trout action or steelhead action?
Yeah, so if you're looking for trout action, no doubt, one of the things is actually in our trout regulations, they do provide us with a great map of our state. So it gives you an idea of different classifications of water. You can also, a local map will also help with easement areas. You know, right now we're in our winter catch and release only, so no live bait and catch and release specifically, and that'll change once our general fishing season turns over, and then it goes back into a normal season on depending on the regulation of the river or stream. Steelhead fishing, you know, that's going to be coming up, and there are a lot of really great opportunities. You're going to have some winter fish that are in there in the river systems, even as we speak, that have been there since the fall. And then you're going to start seeing some of your other fresh run fish coming in. As soon as we start seeing a little bit of melt off, maybe in a rainstorm or two, to bump up that water, get those fish, you know, active and moving up forth to, leading up to their spawn.
I know you got a lot of good fishing opportunities for trout and salmon that will be available. Some of the first fishing up along the north and south shores of Lake Superior, right?
Oh, absolutely. Guys are actually fishing for loopers, which is a form of a rainbow trout, as we speak, and they're even getting a few coasters.
Yeah. Well, Eric, if you want to give out your guide information, somebody's looking. I know you got your information here at Hayward Bait and Ball, and all the other guides got cards here, you know, a lot of information.
Yep, but they can definitely reach me at 612-384-9127.
And folks, I want to remind you, if you miss a show, we do podcast the show on our podcast site. You can get to that from our website at wnoradio.net. Now we're also putting it up on YouTube as well as some real interesting interviews on different topics. And you can just go to YouTube and search for Wisconsin Northland Outdoors and you'll find that. Anyway, we're out of time for this week. Eric, I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you, John, for having me.
And folks, we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.